This is a tall pulpit. Last time I stepped up into a pulpit like this, I walked inside my vestments until I got to the waistband and felt trapped like a turtle on its back. Greetings. Greetings on behalf of National Bishop Susan and BC Bishop Greg of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada, and greetings from my local pastor, the Reverend Terry Richardson, and the members of Hope Lutheran Church in Nanaimo. It's really an honor to be invited by your dean to preside at today's service. She's a familiar face in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. She serves as the Anglican consultant on the ELCIC's Faith, Order, and Doctrine Commission. And so we know each other through various kinds of relationships. Today is the Sunday that Lutherans around the world are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. It began on the Eve of All Saints in 1517, All Hallows' Eve, as it was called then. And Martin Luther chose that day to post 95 theses in a public place for debate. And these theses were on the topic of the sale of indulgences. Now, these indulgences in question were certificates that were being sold by the Vatican. And the holders of these certificates would be assured that their souls would have a fast track on their way through purgatory. So this is 500 years since then. And the Lutheran World Federation, which is an organization quite similar to the Anglican Communion, is encouraging worldwide celebrations of all of its member churches, but in a very particular way. The global theme for this year's celebration is Liberated by God's Grace. What else would Lutherans pick? And under that banner, there are three sub-themes: human beings, not for sale; creation, not for sale; salvation, not for sale. Dr. Martin Junge is the General Secretary of the Lutheran World Federation, and he said in a recent interview, "I'm deeply grateful to our bilateral dialogue partners for the ways in which they have supported us to engage the anniversary ecumenically. We couldn't have done it without them. A year ago, we were in Lund and Malmö at the joint Catholic-Lutheran commemoration with the Roman Catholic Church. In July, we were in Wittenberg with the World Communion of Reformed Churches signing the Wittenberg Witness. On October 31st, we will be with our Anglican sisters and brothers, and later in November, we will be commemorating the anniversary together with our Orthodox dialogue partners. There is no doubt, to be Lutheran is to be ecumenical, and we are blessed by our ecumenical relations." And then he goes on to say what I would have said, but he said it better. "The 500th anniversary of the Reformation finds us in a time of turmoil and insecurity and changes. For many people, looking to the future brings anxiety and fears about peace, ecological degradation, and what this may mean for the coming generations, our children. There's much concern about the difference to the reality that we as a Lutheran family depend on each other and on God's creation at large. There is so little space for grace and compassion. Peace and justice are under pressure. But precisely because of this, I think this is a perfect time to be the church. We have heard the powerful message of Jesus Christ and are called to share it. We are saved not because of who we are and what we do, but because of who God is and what God does. Addressed by God with love, compassion, and mercy, we are empowered to become ambassadors of peace, justice, and reconciliation in our world. So we are freed to serve. The message of Jesus Christ hasn't lost any of its pertinence and relevance in today's world. I know member churches will continue to live out their vocation to participate in God's mission, witnessing to Christ in proclamation, service, and in the ways they stand for justice. And rightly so, because God is alive. God continues addressing us, saving us, and freeing us. That is why the church has a mission, and that is why the Reformation is ongoing. So, the end of a long quote. To back up from where that address was made, the Lutheran Reformation was a major factor in the fragmentation of the Western Church. The Augsburg Confession, drafted by the Lutheran theologians, was rejected by the Vatican, and so Lutherans began to organize as a separate church body. And other reformers like Calvin and Zwingli and Knox formed separate church bodies around their particular interpretations of the gospel. And not long after that, various factions within those churches formed additional movements, and the Western Church began to sound like the Tower of Babel. And Henry VIII withdrew the Church of England from Rome, and further factions occurred in England. But now, 500 years later, the church has reunited in a wonderful way. And old abuses have been renounced, mistakes have been acknowledged, and apologies have been made. In the case of the Lutheran Church, that has involved distancing ourselves from the anti-Semitic writings of Martin Luther, and for the persecutions of the Anabaptists, mostly the Mennonites, that took place in Europe. And then there have been 20th century agreements. You know, I hate these things. 20th century agreements between Lutherans have left us living as sisters and brothers in mutual recognition of the power of the gospel among all of us. And through it all, one principle has been constant. Our relationship with God is justified through our faith, not through church practice and changing doctrine. The interpretation of the gospel is our highest authority. It transcends nationalism, it transcends cultural anomalies, it transcends disparities in wealth and social standing, and it transcends the many ethical ambiguities that continue to challenge us. Salvation through God's grace makes all people equal through baptism. That's the point that St. Paul was making when he wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, and he observed that there was a kind of class system going on at the communion table. And he said, "You're all baptized. You are all one." The gospel, in its most basic form, is the Christian manifesto of what it means to be a human being. Whether we serve in church orders or lay occupation, each baptized Christian has a calling from God. And the church is our tool for proclaiming the gospel of human equality before God throughout all of the world. It's not hard for most of the world's people to think that the world is dominated by those whose only goal is to buy and sell things for the sake of making a profit. The gospel, however, says that at least three things are not for sale. God's grace is not for sale. The sanctity of human life is not for sale. And the goodness of creation is not for sale. These three things are not commodities. Nobody owns them. These three things are the sovereign gifts of God for the blessing of all living things. Whatever differences still define our denominations, we've learned after 500 years how to hear a common gospel proclaimed among us. We have learned how to proclaim publicly our common mission to declare God's right and God's claim to the holiness of creation and God's attitude of grace and mercy and justice for that creation. Because God is alive, God continues addressing us, saving us, and freeing us. That is why the church has a mission. That is why the Reformation is ongoing. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.